Hallelujah. I choose to be free. He's under me. I'm not under him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus is over me. I'm not over him. Jesus is Lord. He tells me. Hallelujah. He orders me around. He commands me. Hallelujah. He says, why in the world do you call me Lord if you're not going to obey me? I choose to obey Jesus. Bless God. How about you? Glory to God. So if Jesus says, I got power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, you know, he's talking about demons, devils. He's talking about wickedness, if you will. He's talking about those things that would come against you. He's not just talking about literal serpents and scorpions, although we do have the ability to resist their sting and poison in Jesus' name. He says, and over all the power, say all. I learned early on by a great man of God who was my spiritual father that fathered me into the faith. And into the calling. He said, all is the biggest word in the Bible because it includes everything. Hallelujah. Three little letters, A-L-L, all. Praise God. Biggest word in the Bible, all. Over all. Woo, praise God. Just say all. What does all mean? All means everything. Where that devil is busy. You got authority and power over all his power. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus didn't give us no second place. We are hooked up with him. The word of God says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. We're joined at the hip with Jesus. Boom. Yes. Go ahead and hook yourself up. Yes. You know how you take those things and you hook them together? You got to have an imagination. Praise God. Just hook up with Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he's like, you're a joint heir with me. Where I am, you are. Did he not say, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also? That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. You know, the mansion is already there. Just exercise dominion and authority now. Hey, praise God. Come on. He wants us to reign right now. What good does it do to reign in power and authority and there's no devil to reign over? Yeah. I mean, you want... If we have policemen and they are crime fighters and we do owe them respect, whether we agree with them, whether they do wrong or whether they do right, we owe them respect because they are representatives of the law. They are officers of the law, if you will. We're not going to get deep into that. But if you have police force and there's no crime in the city, what good does it do to have a police force? Praise God. Put that tax money back in your pocket and just go ahead and enjoy a crime-free city, a crime-free zone. No, we got police because we got criminals. Let me say it again. We got police because we have criminals. There's a lot of crime. Crime is running wild because the vision of the Lord hasn't been declared as God would have it to be declared so that people will get in with God's vision and get out of the devil's vision. Amen? Start fulfilling the hope of God's calling. Praise God. Rather than our own or the devil's plans. You know, Satan's got plans too. He's a strategist. You know, just as surely as God's word says, behold, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said it through Jeremiah to the people. That's to us too. I know the thoughts. I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Well, the devil has plans for you too. I know the plans I have for you. Plans of defeat, sorrow, misery, pain, suffering. I have plans to ruin your life and then to bring you into hell with me. That's the devil's plans. There's a devil loose. Come on. Father of lies. Source of it. So when we lie, come on, Sister Julie, help me preach. So when we lie, guess who we're representing? You could be a tongue-talking, Bible-quoting, scripture-highlighting saint of God, or you go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time the doors are open. But if you lie, you do the devil's work. So we're not here to do the devil's work. We did that when we were without hope and without God, when we were unsaved, uncivilized, when we were wild, when we were crazy in our sinful state. we don't represent him no more. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We represent the one who came out of that grave 3 days as he said he would. Even when the disciples were going to the tomb, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. As he said he would. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Jesus ain't in the tomb. And don't be looking for him on the cross, because he's not suspended there either. He's alive. He's alive." So Jesus came out of that tomb. Let the devil know that death, hell, and the grave don't have no power and authority over him. Hallelujah. So we might as well just enjoy this. Walk in it. Experience it for ourselves. I mean, you know, the one that's been... Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 14 spoke about the adversary. He spoke about Lucifer, son of the morning. We know that to be Satan. That Satan is an angel. He's an archangel. He's also represented an anointed cherub who stood before the throne of God and worshiped God daily. But in that passage in Isaiah chapter 14, he says they're going to look upon you and they're going to say, "Is this the man who made the earth tremble? Is this the man who made the world a wilderness, a desert place, lifeless? Is this the one?" In other words, the expression is, that little imp wreaked all of that havoc? Is that what we submitted ourselves to? He don't like this kind of talk because it exposes him. But see, it will do no good if you don't take it into your heart and start to live by it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Anytime the devil raises his head up, take the sword of the spirit and chop it off. Amen. Praise God. Go ISIS on him. Amen. 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 You know what I mean? I mean in a good sense. I ain't advocating, you know, that, you know, but in Jesus' name, don't give him an opportunity. Give no place, no topaz to the devil. Give no place to his works. Give no place to his noema, his schemes, his devices, if you will, his plans. I said he's got plans. Don't give no place to his plans, his thoughts concerning you, because his thoughts concerning you are to ruin you.
Hey.
Yeah. You be feeling good all the way through. And it's like, oh, but I. And he just ruining and marring you. Because God's got the perfect plan for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's got the perfect plan. Your name is on it. He says power over all the power of the enemy. Let's just go ahead and express that one. On the count of three, we're going to say the word all, and we're going to hold it as long as we can. Amen.
Amen.
With every breath within, with all the breath within you. And over one, two, three. All the power of the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Over all the power of the enemy. His ears are ringing. Ah! Don't let them know that. Some of them already know it, devil. And nothing, no thing, not a thing shall by any means hurt you. Woo, praise God. What a Savior. What a Savior. He knocks fear, doubt, worry, and everything out of the park. He's like, nothing by any means shall hurt you. So go ahead and prophesy the scripture over you. Go ahead and just declare it over your life. Hallelujah. Ooh, I give unto you. Make it personal. Behold, he gives unto me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let it get into your spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Get it into your spirit. Eat it like manna. Manna from heaven, because that's what it is. It's food from God. It's food for us to digest into our spirit, into our soul, into our body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Glory. Go to Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Mark chapter, keep going down. Go down the verses, down to about verse 17, 18. Any day now. Hallelujah. Ah, there we go. Let's start right there. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. Matter of fact, why don't we go back up one verse? Okay. One more. Ah, praise God. Everybody say divine go.
Divine go.
Say a divine go.
Divine
go. That's what Jesus gave us. And he said unto them, go. Go where, Jesus? Into all the world. What if they won't receive me? Preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. He that believeth what? In your preaching of the gospel, and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And these signs, these indicators, these pointers, I'm just putting some other words, not trying to add to, but that's what they are. You know what signs are? They reveal something to you. You drive down the road, you see speed limit, 40 miles per hour. What does that mean? You drive 40 miles an hour. It's a sign. Somebody driving down the street said, I wonder how fast I'm supposed to go down this street. You know, if they're going 10 and the speed limit is 40, I wonder why all of these cars are just passing me like I'm standing still. It's because of the speed limit. There's a sign that tells you something. These signs, they tell the non-believers is what the believers operate in, but it's a sign to the unbelievers so that they know. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are they that believe? The ones that you preach the gospel to. If they believe, these signs will follow them, because somebody preached that gospel to you, and you were supposed to believe, and these signs are supposed to follow you. Hallelujah. Oh, look at your hands and say, there is healing in my hands. Glory, there is healing in my hands to be released in the name of Jesus. I shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. I shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. There's healing in these hands. Healing is released in these hands. I shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. We're going to get there in just a second, but it's like these signs. Okay, follow them in my name. In my authority, in my power, in all that my name represents. Shall they, who's they? The believers. Cast out devils. What if they don't come out? Come on. Hallelujah. It's not for us to, you know, debate. It's for us to do. Remember, we got a divine goal. The divine goal said go. Well, what do I do if it didn't work? Keep on doing it until it works. Praise God. Something's in the way. Keep on going until that thing gets out of the way. Don't let that not happen wear you out. You wear that not happen out till where it happens. Does that make sense? If you press on until the thing happens in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, that I said it before, but he's the wild guy. He's anointed. I can't remember his name, but he's got long hair. Todd White. Come on, Brother Deontay. Praise God. Todd White, anointed man, walks down the street, people on the street, he'll stop and talk to them about Jesus. He'll preach the gospel to them, get them saved. If there's sickness in their body, he'll pray for them and they get healed. He prays for people. He sees one of your legs is shorter than the other. Sit down. The Lord's going to heal your leg. And then he prays for them, and the leg grows out right before people's eyes, and they see it, and they're like, whoa. Well, he said, I must have laid hands on people 1,000 times before it actually began to work. Did he stop at one time?
No.
Did he stop at 100 times?
No.
Did he stop at 500?
No.
750?
No.
900?
No.
950?
No.
999?
No,
he said, I must have did it 1,000 times before it started happening. Then all of a sudden it just kept going. You know, you got to dig for treasure. Hallelujah. You got to dig for treasure. Treasure is not just sitting on the earth or surface for everybody to just go and grab. You know, anything of value requires effort to get to it. Amen. Hard labor pays off. Good hard work pays off, pays big dividends. And so you keep on going. It's just like, you know, when you're dealing with something, you don't back off because it's not going away. It is going to go. Some things are just as stubborn as we are. Sicknesses and diseases are just as stubborn as we are. You know, God told his people, you're stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious. How'd you like that? You know, from the loving God. Amen. Oh, I love you, Lord. You're stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious. In vain you worship me. Your heart is far from me, even though your words are coming before me. What if he just, you know, Jesus, y'all got to get to know the real Jesus. So, I got so into that, praise God. Where was I? That was good. That was good. Come on, bring me back. Help me back. Keep going until the manifestation comes. So you just don't stop because that's where it was, stubbornness. Some sicknesses and diseases, they're just as stubborn as we can be. You know, when God says you're stubborn and stiff-necked, you know what?
Yes.
You know how, because you even feel it. You feel the tension all up in your neck and in your body. God says his people are like that on a regular basis. So because sickness or disease or a demon won't just move because it's stubborn, you get stubborn with that thing. I said go! Who are they yelling at? I don't know. It's one of those crazy Christians. Keep an eye out. You know, they're crazy. But it's like, no. You got to get as violent as the opposition is violent against you. As a matter of fact, you got to be even more violent if you're going to wipe this thing out. But if you're going to just be timid, the thing is just going to push you around like a bully. What are you facing? What are you dealing with? What are you confronting? What's confronting you? What's coming at you? What's coming against you? You know, the adversary wants to keep this on you until you die. Why? Because it keeps you in bondage and it never allows you to get to the freedom and place that God would have you to be so that you could become more fit and more useful for the master. Hallelujah. Because God wants all of us to walk in these signs. You know, you're just going in places. You know, a loved one is in the hospital. You go and you minister to them. And then somebody over there in the sick bed is like, oh, true story. I went to visit this person in the hospital. This was dealing with salvation. I went to visit this one person in the hospital and went to pray for her healing. And while I was praying, there was an elderly lady next to her. Her name was Ruth. I forget her last name now. It's been so many years. But she overheard me in the prayer, and she was so moved and so touched. And she was like, oh, that was like wonderful and all. And she said something, and I asked her, do you want prayer? And so she says, oh, okay. And then I asked her if she believed in Jesus. And she said, well, she knew Jesus exists, but But had she ever received him? And she said, no. So I came to her bedside and prayed for her, and then witnessed to her and led her in the sinner's prayer to receive the Lord Jesus. Now, she's elderly. She's like maybe in her 70s or something like that. And her very words to me afterwards was, wow, I thought I had to go to a Billy Graham crusade in order to get saved. Salvation came to her bedside. Hallelujah. And if she's still here, praise God. But if she's gone, she's gone on to be with the Lord. So we're supposed to walk in these signs. And so you go into a hospital room to visit a loved one. Don't be surprised if that person next to them needs to receive Jesus. I went to see Deacon Aquino's dad and visit him to pray for him. This was years ago when he was in the hospital for an illness, and went to pray for him and pray for his healing. When I entered into that room, I heard this. Oh, blankety blank this. Oh, blankety blank that. You know what blankety blank is. It's all those little, you know, at signs, amber signs, dot, 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 you know. Profanity. Oh, blankety blank this. Oh, blankety blank that. And didn't even, because, you know, they, don't you dare cuss in this room. Didn't have to do that. No. Went ahead and started praying for Pastor Willow, who's now with the Lord. As I'm praying for him, as God is my witness, his cussing went to, oh, thank the Lord. Oh, praise your God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, praise you, God. Oh, I mean, it went from cussing, swearing up a storm like a sailor, to praising God in a split moment like that. Just like that. If Deacon Aquino's mother was here, she could testify, because it was me, her, and Pastor Willer in that hospital at Kaiser, I believe it was, over in Walnut Creek. And his cussing went to praising God. It was awesome. You had to have been there. Greater than a miracle. He was so touched that the next day when his wife came, he told her about the experience and said, I don't know who he is, but he came, and it's like something happened to him. He told his wife. His wife talked to her mother-in-law. They found out who I was. The mother-in-law had been watching me on television, and they knew, and before you know it, they came to church. That man gave his life to the Lord. Nino Bologna, he is in glory today as a result. There's other stories. Sister Jay and I working at Fiberboard, and people there that gave their lives to the Lord. Harold Shepherd is one of them that I'll never forget. On his deathbed, I'm supposed to go to men's camp up in Sonora. I think that's where it is, where Foursquare men's camp is. And I didn't want to go. I didn't know why I didn't want to go. I know some of you heard this before, and it's like, oh, here we go with another story. But there's some new people here, so bear with me, praise God. Hallelujah. Trying to encourage people.
Yes.
And so my pastor at that time, he's like, come on, go. I'll pay for the trip. It's not that. I had money. I just didn't want to go. I didn't know why I didn't want to go. I just knew in my heart I did not want to go, and I did not go. Of course, I felt bad because my pastor was upset with me, but it's like I did not want to go, and I didn't know why. You can be following the Lord and not even know it. I'll say it again. You could be following the Lord and not even know it. I didn't know what was about to happen late that evening, but I got a phone call while I was in bed sleeping. And woke up out of my sleep and answered that phone call. And the gentleman on the phone says, I'm such and such Shepherd. You don't know me, but you know my dad. You used to work with him. Yes, Harold. Well, he gave me your card, and he told me to contact you. He says, my dad is in the hospital, and they've only given him a few days to live. Now, that was a shocker. And we've asked my dad if he wants us to have a priest to come in and do the last rites, but my dad said no. His dad reached over in the drawer, pulled my card out that I had given him before I left Fiberboard, and he says, here, this is my buddy. Call that number. My buddy will come. Called me up. I got right up out of that bed, drove on down to that hospital, ministered to Harold. He's telling me everything that he has been watching, how he has been watching me since he knew me, and how my life was such an impact on him. Because, see, Harold was prejudiced. He didn't like black people. He felt like black people were, you know, just on welfare and, you know, just abusing the system. And, you know, he didn't have too many good things to say about black people until he met me. And I ain't bragging on me. But my life was a witness to him. And he says, I've watched you. As a matter of fact, one time he and I engaged in conversations, and he was talking about that welfare thing. I said, well, hell, you know, it's not just black people on welfare. You know, there's a lot of white people that are on welfare, hell. You know, and it made him think. For some reason, you know, just some simple words can make a person think. And so, anyways, he's telling me how my life had really impacted his life. And that he wanted to see me before he goes because he knew I wouldn't know what to do. And so that evening, well, it was in the morning by that time, I'm there at his bedside, and I'm about to cry because he's telling me these things. That we used to have fun. He was a joker, and I like to tell jokes too, not, you know, crazy jokes, but I don't even tell jokes. It's just some things in life that just happen and they're funny, and you just capture the moment and take advantage of it. Does that make sense? But I don't study, you know, jokes or listen or read about jokes so I can come and tell you a joke. God has a sense of humor, and he can drop some bombs and have us all laughing and cracking up, and then we go out of here saying, was that okay? Because we sure laughed a lot. Matter of fact, I only remember the part that we laughed on. I don't remember the rest of the sermon. That's the way some people are. But anyways, he shared it with me, and I led him to the Lord that night. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. It was an awesome moment. His brother from Southern Cal, because I didn't know this. This was all unknown to me. After Harold went on to be with the Lord, I think he lived for another 2 weeks because I prayed for his healing, that God would raise him up. He got out of the hospital, and I'm like, praise God. But what he does is he plans his funeral. He tells all of his family. He says, I want my buddy to do my funeral. And he says, I want all of y'all to respect him because he's my buddy. So his brother, when he comes to the funeral, he comes from Southern California. Their mother is a Christian. And his brother, when I'm in the room just getting ready to come out to do the eulogy, his brother says to me, oh, you must be him. I said, yes. He says, well, you really impressed Harold. I mean, he really liked you. He really spoke highly of you. Man, he's done all of this stuff, and unbeknownst to me, it's just me, and all I know is Harold. So he says, you know, our mother is a godly woman. And so I was like, you know, because Harold, he didn't want the priest to come and pray for him. He didn't want nobody to come pray for him but you. I even said, Harold, don't you want mama to come pray for you? And Harold is like, no. My buddy has taken care of everything. I mean, that's just how God moved on his heart. And this is how God wants to move in and through our lives to make the difference, have an impact on the lives of others. You know, this thing is bigger than us, and it's not all about us. But every believer walking in this, you don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift to walk in this. You just need to be a willing son and daughter of the Most High God. Believe. The qualification is them that believe. Hallelujah. Here's a testing of your faith. Do you believe? Because if you believe, these signs shall follow you. Well, I tried and it didn't work. Well, keep on trying until it works. Come on, let's do something natural. If the Orville Wilbur Wrights brothers, is that right? Orville and Wilbur, right? The Wright brothers? Okay, amen. Somebody knows. If they would have gave up after the first time trying to fly, we probably wouldn't have the airplane. Those with witty inventions and ideas, if they had gave up after the first try, they probably never would have accomplished anything. What's the point? Hey, we are in our Father's business. This is part of our Father's business. We keep on until it works. We don't give up. We don't back down. We don't stop until it works. Amen. Hallelujah. So just start laying hands. First of all, practice on you. Hey. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. It's no disrespect to fivefold ministry gifts. If you tell me, Pastor, I was feeling bad and stuff, and I laid hands on myself, praise God. Now, if you need some added oomph to it, okay, let's come into agreement. But at least do that. Lay hands on yourself, your kids. Lay hands on your kids. Praise God. Before you take them to the doctor. Let's do this. Praise God. They got a temperature of 106. I rebuked that thing. I commanded it to come down to, what is it for kids? 98.6. I know it's for adults, but what are kids? Theirs can be like 100 or something and still be normal. I don't know. I commanded to come back to normal. In Jesus' name. Before you just quickly hop into the car and run them down to the doctor or call the advice nurse, what do I do? The advice nurse ought to say, did you pray first? Get a spirit-filled advice nurse. Well, first of all, did you pray? Because I heard you say, praise the Lord. Praise God. This is good. This is fun, too. Praise God. Because some of them laughing because it's like, oops. That hurt, but it's funny too. So I'm laughing and I'm hurting too because I didn't blew it. Sorry. Kids looking at you. You didn't pray for me. Praise God. Oh, praise God. So in my name they shall cast out devils. And here's the thing. If a demon ever manifests in you, don't be embarrassed. Why do I say don't be embarrassed? Because that thing needs to be driven out of you. And if we command an unclean spirit to come out of you, don't stay home next week. What are they going to think about me? We're thinking about getting that thing out of you. That's what we're thinking about. We want to preserve you, but we want that thing to go so you can be free. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This one won't let go. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. You just need to make sure you want to let go. Amen. You got to make sure you want to let go. Because some of those demons are smooth. They make you feel good. They're nasty. Laden down with sin. They shall speak with new tongues. This is for those that believe. He's not talking about, well, I was born and raised up speaking English, but I got saved and I started speaking Spanish. That can happen, but that's the gift of the Holy Ghost, with a word that needs to be interpreted so that the entire assembly can be blessed. Or it may be one or two people in the congregation who don't speak English, but they understand Spanish, and God will give that word, he will give that language to speak to them, to let them know about the wonderful works of God. And then they'll just break down and start praising God and say, God is surely in your midst. He might say, how you say that, all of that in Spanish? Who's, Sister Gabby? ¿Habla español? No? ¿No poquito? ¿Habla español? Sister Sandra? ¿Habla español? Poquito. Okay. I'm sorry. Who? Sister Yvonne. Sister Yvonne. How do you say? ¿Cómo se dice? I think that's right. It may not be right. Was that right? Okay. ¿Cómo se dice? El Dios is in our midst. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm putting everybody on blast. I probably know more than y'all. And I don't know any. I know a little bit. I'm sorry. The El Dios is that God?
Oh, now I got it. Dios.
Uh-huh. Is in our midst. Come on! Repeat that, por favor. I used to love saying that. Dios está con nosotros. Yes, he's in our midst. Amen. Sí, we bien. We bien. Gracias, señora. Gracias. That was very good. Sister Jay, you speak a little Spanish too. You knew the nosotros? Yes, I remember that too. So they'll say God is in your midst. But this is your heavenly language that Jesus is talking about. He's going to give you a heavenly language, a language that is not limited by your natural abilities, but a language. Paul talked about speaking with the tongues of men and of angels, heavenly realm. They shall, these that believe. Well, if you don't believe, you won't speak. And if you've been taught against it, you definitely, have a problem with it. But listen to the author and the finisher of our faith and what he says. Next verse, please. They shall take up serpents. Now, some people take this literally, and they play around with snakes, and some of them get bitten, and they die. You know, it's one thing that, first of all, he's not telling us to go and tempt God and play with snakes. But I'm telling you, if something came your way, you don't have to be afraid of it in Jesus' name. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This is nothing that we do intentionally. This is if we come upon something that's harmful, like a serpent, or somebody tries to poison us unbeknownst to us. Jesus is saying it won't hurt them. They tried it on John. They tried to poison John. They tried to boil John in oil. Some say they tried to do it three times. And John just, you know, he's like in the sauna or something. He just, you know, and then he gets out of there and he's, you know, he's still whole. The skin is intact and everything, like baby oil. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Deacon Posada. I told you, it don't have to be, you know, you don't have to play in jokes. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall, here we go, they shall, this is another good one. They shall, who is the they? They are the believers. They shall lay hands on the sick. You shall. Why won't you lay hands on the sick? Somebody tell you that they're sick. Oh, let me pray for you. Okay, now, don't be hasty to lay hands on anyone suddenly. But that deals with this. That happens to deal with somebody that is up to no good. And they're trying to get you to come in agreement with their no good. Because you don't want to be yoked up with someone that's doing something evil and wicked. But when you got somebody that's sick, let me lay hands and pray for you. If they say no, okay. All right. I'm taking my peace with me. I'm shaking the dust of your doubt off of my feet. And I'm moving on. Because somebody's going to get healed. Amen. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, who's they? The sick shall recover. Those are the words of Jesus. If they were my words, you'd have reason to doubt. But because they're the Savior's words, you have every reason to believe. They shall recover, meaning they shall overcome this sickness. They shall be restored back to wholeness. What if it doesn't work? Hey, praise God. Next verse. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where did he sit? He sat. on the right hand of God. You know what the right hand of God represents? Power. 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 Right hand represents power. Left hand represents the anointing. Jesus was pierced in both hands. One to restore power, the other for the anointing to come upon the saints of God. Huh. He didn't bleed in vain. When they put that crown of thorns on his head, it was to deliver us from mental disorders, mental breakdowns, mental instability, mental, you know, schizophrenia, what's that other one? Bipolar disorder. Oh, I hate what that does to people. But Jesus, when they did that, it was to remove the oppression. You know, people are manic depressants. People are so depressed. People are messed up right now, and that ought not to be, because Jesus is Lord. When I say people, you know, the world is just messed up. But even in the church, people are messed up. And instead of moving forth as the army of the living God, do you think that the soldiers that are in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, even the Coast Guard and the Reserves, do you think they have time to be nursing their ills and their hurts when it's time to get out there into battle? They're ready to go. When they get those orders, when Navy SEALs, when they get those orders, they got to go. No matter where they are or what they're doing, they got to drop what they're doing and go. They're trained to come against sickness and things like that that would interfere. They are disciplined. And this is how we have to become as saints of God, disciplined in the ways of God. We're the army of the living God. We're not just some religious bunch of losers. You know, that's what they may say about us, but we got power on our side. God is on our side. Heaven is on our side. We got the word of the Lord. We got his Holy Spirit that has clothed us and is within us. Hallelujah. Jesus sat on the right hand of power. He told, I forget who it was. It might have been Pilate. He says, or it might have been the disciples. He said, you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand. Power. Oh, praise God. It's wonderful. Amen. Amen. So prophesy the word of the Lord. Speak God's word over your life. Speak it over your children, your grandchildren. Speak it over the church of the living God, the body of Christ. Speak it over the neighborhood. Know the word concerning that situation or circumstance and declare God's word over it. God has already said, my words shall not return to me void. My words shall not return to me void. My words shall not return to me void. My words shall not return to me void, but my words shall return to me. Now, how does this word return to him? Through you and I declaring that word. Then we have the power of agreement. Heaven and earth are agreeing that it shall be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't send God's word back up to him with doubt and fear and worry and anxiety. Send it back with faith so you come into agreement with God. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. All right. You've had enough from me. Let's welcome Pastor Lucia. She's going to come and share with you some announcements. And then we're going to close out. Praise God. Deacon Patton's going to do the tithes and the offerings, and then I'll come back up and close out. Amen.